Hi, this is Michelle Anderson from north of Bangor, and today I'm in Pennsylvania at the Freedom Action National Conference in Valley Forge. And I'm going to talk today to Jeff Lewis, the National Director of the FIRE Coalition. He says, protecting life and liberty is the pursuit of happiness. Jeff gave a speech this morning about where he mentioned original jurisdiction, and I wanted to talk to him about that so I could let all you guys know what he had to say. Good morning, Jeff. How are you?
Good morning, Michelle.
I just wanted, I'd like for you to elucidate on original jurisdiction, because that's something I think I learned in 7th or 8th grade, and then life got in the way, and the press mixed me up, and I forgot all about it. If you could just explain that to people.
In simplest terms, original jurisdiction, what does original mean? First, right?
Right.
Original jurisdiction means the court that would first hear a case. So when the framers were developing the federal judiciary, they said, okay, here these are all the kinds of cases that are going to fall under the federal judiciary purview. Mm-hmm. And that's in Article 3, Section 2, Clause 1. All right, now, if you look at Article 3, Section 2, Clause 1, you'll see a couple of asterisks because there was a few changes made to that by the 11th Amendment. Mm-hmm. However, Clause 2, no changes made to that. Constitution being the supreme law of the land, all laws, statutes, regulations are supposed to be upholding that and adhering to it. So what they did in Clause 2 was they broke out a small sliver of cases that deserve such prominence and attention that they got effectively head-of-the-line privileges. So not being a country yet, we were a confederation, a loose confederation. So as they're writing the Constitution, they said, well, we've got to have a federal judiciary, so we're going to have a federal court system, and there's got to be a court that settles things. So we have a Supreme Court. And for cases that are extremely important, only the Supreme Court would have, quote-unquote, original jurisdiction. So one of those that's really important is the people that created this federal government, the states. They deserve front-of-the-line privileges because they wanted our states didn't just create the federal government and then just go home. They gave a certain amount of authority and powers in Article 1, Section 8, the enumerated powers, and retained everything else either for themselves or the people. Look at the 9th and 10th Amendments, and there'll be reminders of that. But so when it came to grievances between the states or between the state and this federal government, they said, in cases in which a state is party, the Supreme Court shall have original jurisdiction. They'll hear it first. In all other cases, there's a period after that. In all other cases, not mentioned above, so they mentioned the ones that had, so that the Supreme Court is going to hear first, out of that group that was in Clause 1, which is all cases, and then Clause 2, Part 1 says, Supreme Court's going to hear these originally first, then also in Clause 2, Part 2, it says, in all other cases, the Supreme Court would have appellate jurisdiction. So they hadn't created a federal, the inferior court, the district court system, but they just called them inferior courts, and they became the U.S. district courts. And there are 12 regions for as far as the appellate court system, and each one of those has district courts within it. So in the case of Arizona, for example, the Obama Justice Department filed a complaint against the state of Arizona and Governor Brewer in her official capacity against SB 1070. Well, let's see. There's a state there. It's a party. Doesn't matter whether it's a plaintiff or a defendant. Cases in which a state is party, Supreme Court has original jurisdiction. But the Obama Justice Department didn't file a complaint with the court of original jurisdiction. They filed it with, for all practical purposes, in this case, a kangaroo court, because it has no jurisdiction. The judges on American Idol have as much jurisdiction to hear the case against Arizona as the U.S. District Court for the District of Arizona does. So any rulings, injunctions, whatever that lady does, Judge Bolton, no offense to her personally, but professionally, she's in violation of her oath of office.
She's not upholding the Constitution.
Absolutely. Article 6, Section 3 is that oath of office. There's one other. Article 2, Section 1 is for the president's oath to faithfully execute the office of president, uphold the Constitution. Article 6, Section 3 is everybody else and has to take an oath. So they violated...
Everybody is.
Everybody. So they violated the Sixth Amendment, Article 5, which is how do we amend the Constitution, because the Supreme Court decided, we're getting overworked. We need to delegate. Well, there's nothing wrong with delegating if you have the authority to do it. They didn't have the authority. Constitution. Nowhere in the Constitution does it give Congress or the Supreme Court the authority to subjugate a state to an inferior court status.
Nor the president.
Nowhere. Nobody.
You'd
have to amend the Constitution. Now, in Article 3, Section 2, Clause 2, Part 2, it does give Congress the authority to make exceptions and establish regulations for all other cases, not those that are cherry-picked out for the Supreme Court. And it's like I mentioned in my presentation, common sense. The framers were, all, for the vast majority, had a Judeo-Christian background, believing in the Ten Commandments. Like I said, it doesn't say thou may not kill, it says thou shalt not kill. Shout is shall, same word, is a command, a mandate, must. You must hear this case first. Now this is a slippery slope, because if you treat this like a let them eat cake, send them through the district court process and then the appellate court process, what happens when it comes to, say, Judge Bolton at the end of the day rules against them, and then they appeal it to the Ninth Circuit?
Also
has no jurisdiction. And then Ninth Circuit, the most liberal court in the land, although I'm beginning to wonder, Supreme Court's starting to give them a run for their money, and they rule against Arizona, and they go to appeal it to the Supreme Court. It's a rabbit hole. Supreme Court, in respect to appellate cases, they pick and choose which ones they hear.
Right.
So if Supreme Court likes the ruling of the appeals court,
they leave it alone.
But they don't have the authority
to leave it alone,
because they were supposed to hear it to start with. Another problem with this is we've just had two extremely liberal justices appointed to the Supreme Court, and in conversation with Senator Russell Pierce's office, they're concerned, as am I, what happens if another Supreme Court justice decides to retire or God forbid, dies during this appellate process, which could drag out for a year or two. We may end up with even more liberal justices on the Supreme Court that shouldn't have been,
mm-hmm.
that should have heard this case to start with. It's a rabbit hole. Virginia, I mentioned this one. They're fighting Obamacare. Same scenario. A state, Commonwealth, mm-hmm. is a party. They should have filed it
immediately
with the Supreme Court.
Well, what is the reason that they don't? I mean, is there an advantage, or is it just fighting time?
I can speculate. There's a lot of political capital to be gained and notoriety for the litigants mm-hmm. on either side of these issues. It's good political fodder, because the media has a slobbering love affair with a hot story. And if you're a politician or a wannabe politician, an aspiring politician, you make a name for yourself, or you can keep a name for yourself. I think it was Mayor Daley of Chicago said, or it may have been P.T. Barnum, I get them mixed up. Even bad news is good news, as long as they're talking about you. It could be ignorance. It could be for political gain, or it could be pressure. I mean, but there's no excuse either way.
How do we fix that, Jeff?
Well, first is to inform, as Jefferson said, inform their discretion. Let them know you're making a mistake. Educate them on what they should be doing, and then keep holding their feet to the fire. We the people and like Representative Metcalf said, the state legislators working together, standing in between us and our rogue federal government.
I'm trying to tell my representative, and he fires me. Oh, wait, he can't fire me.
You're the boss. Look, I go in there literally at times, and I will poke them in the chest. I will bang my fist on their desk, and I will remind them about the employer-employee relationship that exists between the public servant and the public.
And I'm sure that puts them right in their place.
Well, I don't waste my time on some people because there's no hope for them, but even the ones that I do work with, because legislators that are trying to do the right thing are up against, whether you're going to your state house or to Capitol Hill, Joe and Jane Citizen are outnumbered 100-1 on any given day by professional hucksters, professional paid lobbyists, and they get beat, browbeat, and they're human beings too. Squeaky wheel gets the grease. We the people need to be a lot squeakier.
So would you
grease the wheels of liberty. They're about locked up right now.
Well, would you suggest that my listeners contact state representatives or
absolutely
the board itself or the president's office or all of the above?
I wouldn't waste my time contacting the White House. Although, I would suggest contacting not just your state legislators but the members of Congress and ask
Olivia
them.
Snow and Susan Collins?
I'm sorry. Don't get me started on them. Remind them that they took an oath. I'm a veteran, and when I'm talking to the elected officials, you know, they like sucking up to the veterans groups. And they're always, thank you. I don't want your thanks. You can thank me by doing your job and keeping your oath. My time in service expired honorably. Will yours?
Jeff, if we want to learn more about this or get a hold of you, how would we do that?
Well, you can write me at jeff@firecoalition.com. I'm also, that's why I was flipping this for you, National Director of the Patriot Coalition, and that's at patriotcoalition.com. And there we promote the Constitution, warn and educate about usurpations against it, promote constitutionally minded candidates. We launched the Patriot Coalition 4th of July last year because as a 501c3, Fire Coalition can't do but some things. And we felt compelled, there's some things that we need to do that we couldn't under that banner.
So the Patriot Coalition, if legislative candidates who are running on the Constitution, would you, do they get in touch with you, or is it just federal, or is it just anybody who's interested?
Well, we're still developing the infrastructure for that aspect of it, but we're not doing the endorsing. It's on the Joe and Jane Citizen to do that. Somebody has to do the recommending. Now, I do recommend somebody, some people. The speakers, the state representatives that spoke here today have my endorsement and the Patriot Coalition's endorsement. That's Representative Shea from Washington State. Representative Key from Oklahoma and Representative Metcalf from Pennsylvania. I would encourage your state legislators in Maine to go to statelegislatorsforlegalimmigration.com.
Okay.
Join Representative Metcalf and legislators from 37 other states in standing up for states' rights and the Constitution.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. If they want to read the actual report, because we had sent letters to Governor Brewer, to in Arizona, to Virginia Attorney General Cuccinelli, and to Supreme Court Chief Justice Roberts, informing them of their discretion, advising them on what they should do. And you can read that document. You can go to my personal site is patriotwatchdog.com.
Okay.
And if you go to patriotwatchdog.com/rejoinordie.pdf, you can download the letters that have the links to both the complaints and the statutes and the Constitution. Everything you ever wanted to know about original jurisdiction, you can get it right out of those letters.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. I'll be talking to everybody about the issues that concern us north of Bangor.